Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It is time to grab your cup of coffee, your tea, your water, sit back and relax, and receive the divine transmissions that come through today. Today, the weekend, happy Friday, everybody. Friday, one of those special days where we get to look forward to sleeping in if you're someone who has to get up every morning to go to work, doing things other than work, maybe having to do housework or home type projects, but certainly it changes up the schedule, right? It changes up everything. But it is good to see you guys out there. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, good morning. I see you. She says, hit that button. What she means by that, of course, is to hit the thumbs up button if you are watching me on YouTube. And if you are on Facebook this morning, hit the like button and then share this video with people that you know through your networks, etc. Good morning to Christine Buckingham and Alan. Happy Friday from the UK. And I might be saying that wrong. Is it Ellen? Good morning to you, Tom and Patty Hickox. Hello, TJ. Hello, behind the scenes. Jamon, good morning to you as well. We have a lot to talk about today. It seems like we have these periods of time where there's a lot happening and it's frenetic. And then we have a period of time where there's not so much happening and we get to integrate all of the things that have been going on. Well, while we have a lot to talk about today, there isn't that frenetic quality of energy that we have had, nor is it the frenetic quality that we will have next week, when we start the week with Venus moving into Taurus and the next day Mars moving into Aries, both signs that they rule, which gives them more power, more punch, more impact for each of us in our charts. In this case, wherever it is that Aries and Taurus are in the charts. Same kind of area we've been being impacted by, right? So it's not like there's this injection of new energy, but now with personal planets getting ready to move into those signs, it brings it home, right? It really brings it into the individual. Even though I know that that generates a lot of energy, a lot of change, a lot of upheaval, perhaps, I see these changes next week as very positive. And the energies then for the weekend, today, Saturday, and Sunday, are ones that really are in support of what will come next week. And as we are ready to move into the month of May, can you believe it, y'all? We move into May next week. May, the fifth month of the year. Hard to believe. Time flies when we are having fun. So today what we're going to do is take a look, of course, at the moon. The moon is in Sagittarius right now. And actually, when I looked at the moon this morning in the chart, not in the sky, because we're socked in with clouds, I wouldn't have been able to see the moon. I noticed it was in a conjunction with Pallas Athena. And that always gives me this opportunity to bring up something new for you all. And that is what happens when the moon is in a conjunction to Pallas Athena. So we'll talk about that. And then in human design, of course, the gates that Sagittarius plays in are the gates on the first three gates anyway, which is where we are today. We'll be playing with the gates of the sacral center. And if you are someone who knows about human design, the sacral center is the center with the most energy. It is an engine and it is always running. So the energy of the moon bringing us some real maybe challenging for those of you who aren't used to this kind of energy, but some real energy of go, right? I feel like I need a sign that says go or green, right? A green card that says go, because today might be that day. As the gate's 34, the gate that is the most busy gate of all of the gates, and that's where the moon is sitting right this minute. And then the gate 9, the gate of focus, but sometimes also thought of as the gate of ADD or ADHD. And the gate 5, the gate of routines, are all being hit today. So we'll talk more about what that means. And then I noticed an interesting thing this morning as well. I was just kind of looking at the degrees that all of the different planets were sitting at. And interesting, because they're all in the last 10 degree, almost all of them are in the last 10 degrees of the signs that they are sitting in. So we have this sort of feel that we're in closure of something, right? That we're buttoning up some things. And when I was looking at that, I noticed that Uranus today is at 22 degrees, 8 minutes of Taurus, while the Black Moon Lilith is at 22 degrees, 55 minutes of Virgo. So that puts them in an almost perfect trine. So we're going to take a look at what that means for each one of us, because the Black Moon Lilith, you know, she's tricky. She is the darker side of the feminine, the darker side of each one of us, as we squelch that energy down within us. So we'll want to see what's trying to burble up to the top and be set free for each one of you. And then the big news of today's broadcast, of course, is Mars coming into a conjunction with Neptune at in the 28th degree of Pisces, and actually almost into the 29th degree, which is so interesting to me. And in human design, that puts them at gate 25, which is called the gate of the spirit in the self. I got somebody said somewhere along the line that 25 was the spirit of the self. I think it's the spirit within you. So the spirit in the self. How do we bring the spirit and the human together and express from that more divine space? Mars and Neptune helping us to do that. And we'll take a look at that in more depth. So let's see more people joining us this morning. Good morning to Jacqueline. It's good to see you out there. Joan, hello to you as well. And anybody else whom I can't see. I see that there's a lot of people, but I don't see you in the chat. But welcome and thank you for being here this morning. So first up, let's take a look at what happens when the moon is in Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius is one of the signs that is fire, right? So fire energy. So we have the moon, which has the watery qualities, right? Ruler of Cancer, a water sign, watery as in emotions and the emotional sensitivity that we have. It is our instinctual self. It is all of the things that go on in the inner world. That's our moon. Now, when the moon is transiting through Sagittarius, a fire sign ruled by Jupiter, we are adding a sense of adventure, optimism, maybe philosophical inquiry, a change perhaps in our beliefs, or at least a looking at what are our beliefs, a connection to your higher self, perhaps. So there are energies like freedom that move through the sign of Sagittarius. So the moon here could be bringing up emotional energy around either the feeling we have of restlessness that seeks to be expressed through adventure or through exploration, and or that restlessness that turns inward then, and we have to work through whatever it is that is the source of the restlessness within us. So let's take a look at the different things that could be coming up for us during today and all of tomorrow and early in the morning on Sunday, at least Pacific time. I think it's 2 something in the morning. So still early in the morning for those of you on the East Coast, the moon will transit into Capricorn. So this is for all of today and all of tomorrow. We're seeking freedom and we're seeking exploration. There's some parts of us that you all have Sagittarius somewhere in your charts, right? And when you're looking at an astrology chart, let me see if I can highlight this for you so you can see what Sagittarius looks like. It's pretty much an arrow, right? So here, that's what Sagittarius looks like in your own personal astrology chart. And there you see a picture of the moon and Pallas Athena in their conjunction. Next to that is the part of fortune. And of course, the galactic center also resides in the sign of Sagittarius. But for today, of course, we're dealing with this early movement of the moon into this sign. And it's triggering then this need for us for freedom and exploration. We may feel a strong desire to break free from the constraints, from the routines, from the limitations that we have placed upon ourselves or that we perceive as having been placed upon us. So we're struggling then today against the feeling of I need to get out of this place versus I need to get this work done, right? So there you have that. There's optimism and enthusiasm though, right? This is a sign that is ruled by Jupiter. So we have like automatic connection to optimism, to positivity, to seeing the bigger picture. Now, however, Jupiter is also an amplifier. So if you are finding yourself restless and bored or frustrated, those things can be amplified as well, right? So Jupiter, mostly positive, mostly optimistic, mostly, you know, having us see things from this higher perspective, but can also amplify whatever else it is that you are feeling. But hopefully there's this feeling of optimism for the future and maybe optimism about what your goals are and your aspirations, like you're feeling like you can move forward. There's philosophical reflection here as well. Sagittarius rules all the belief systems, all the major religions come from this Sagittarian need to find truth. And for most humans on the planet, we find truth through science or religion, interestingly enough, or belief systems. So it could be religion in an organized sort of religion way. It could be science in the organized scientific sort of way, or it can be more of the looser spiritual belief systems that we have, maybe even a conglomeration, you know, mixing of all of them. But no matter what, it's a day or a time of philosophical reflection. And mostly so that we can embody a broader perspective of our role on the planet, or a perspective of our life, right? Bigger, better pondering, if you will, of those deep questions of meaning, of purpose, of what is life about, your spirituality, your place in the world. These are all questions that are big and that can, you know, get drawn into our experience. There is a certain amount of wanderlust during this period of time, wanting to travel, wanting to get out of the routine and do something that's different, something that's exciting. There might be spontaneous adventures, right? Deciding that we want to go skating, we want to go bike riding, we want to go on a drive through the mountains, whatever it is, right? It is about broadening your horizons, but also experiencing something different than what you normally do. So this might be a good weekend to get away from it all, right? Maybe do something that you've always wanted to do, but couldn't. The weather is getting nicer now. So maybe it's a day to take a hike, right? That would be supported by Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius is also a sign that connects us to nature, right? So nature is a very good place to spend your time when you're feeling restless, right? Maybe it's more formalized, like getting out in your garden and doing some planting. Maybe it's more like hiking or walking through the forests or through the beaches, wherever it is that you live and whatever nature means for you, get out and enjoy it. So by the way, when you're doing those kinds of things and you're being proactive about, you know, how to spend your energy, then it reduces the amount of restlessness and the impatience that can be a part of the experience of the moon in Sagittarius. You know, Sagittarius loves spontaneity. So while I wouldn't suggest that you spontaneously go out and buy a new car, I would say maybe you spontaneously go test drive them, right? And see which ones work for you if you were in the market for a car. Maybe spontaneously, you know, going to a place you've never been before to experience it. That is the fun, the love that Sagittarius has, right? So overall, when the moon's transiting through Sagittarius, it's a time for us to embrace adventure, optimism, and a broader perspective of life, of your life, of life in general, maybe. It's favorable time for traveling or for even exploring. You know, you could read about different destinations. You could, you know, go consult a travel agent or somebody, you know, online, even about traveling, and be mindful of restlessness and boredom creeping in, or impatience creeping in. Enjoy your freedom. Enjoy the possibility of this transit bringing opportunities for you to experience a wider horizon, right? A broader horizon. Okay. Now, when the moon is transiting through Sagittarius, or any sign, but we're going to talk about it transiting through Sagittarius and conjuncting Pallas Athena, then we have this blending of the emotional energies of the moon, the intuitive qualities of the moon, and the strategic and wisdom seeking and wisdom nature of Pallas Athena. Pallas Athena is an asteroid. She might actually be a dwarf planet. I might have to look that up and find out. Is she a dwarf planet now, or is she an asteroid? Either way you look at it, she is not a planet, as our definition of planet in astrology is following along the lines of the astronomical community. But in this way, we could take a look and see, what is she adding to the nature of the energies that we're experiencing here on Earth, right? That's the, when new bodies are discovered, and she's not a new body that's been discovered in, you know, the last year. She's been here for a bit. She adds a dynamic. There's a new dynamic that comes into our consciousness. And the consciousness of Pallas Athena is about wisdom seeking, about strategy. And she is kind of the feminine of, let's say, Mars in his highest, Mars in Capricorn, where he's strategic and he's able to take goals and create action plans and move forward with those action plans. But she's doing it in a little more feminine way. So let's break down what each of this means here for us today, or, you know, I think it's today, but then I think we could be looking at, what does Pallas Athena mean for each of us as time goes on? And right now she's transiting at 5 degrees, 28 minutes of Sagittarius, and she is in retrograde. And Tom just looked it up for us and finds out she is not a dwarf planet. The preferred term is little folk planet. I got to hear more about that one. I would guess that she is being classified as an asteroid then, but a body that we can use in astrology nonetheless. So we know what the transiting moon in Sagittarius is all about, representing our emotions, our instincts, our inner world, linked with this idea of adventure, exploration, and broadening of our horizons. In astrology, Pallas, or Pallas Athena, or sometimes we just call her Athena, is associated with wisdom, with strategy, with creative intelligence. She's named after the Greek goddess of wisdom and warfare. And Pallas Athena represents our ability then to think strategically and solve problems and to navigate challenges with wisdom and insight. So she has a very important role in our charts, right? In our lives. She's often associated with skills such as diplomacy, planning, and the ability to see the bigger picture. So she kind of has this linkage to Jupiter. Oh, why? Because maybe because he's her father, right? Zeus, Jupiter. In Greek mythology, she was born from a cleft in Zeus's head, and she sprung forth fully formed, fully in her regalia, her helmet, her, you know, shield, and all of her wisdom. An owl on her shoulder, right? That it's really kind of an extraordinary myth. So she does have sort of this feeling of the impact of broadening our horizons has on the strategy that we embody in planning for our futures, right? Planning for our lives. So we have emotional, because she's linked with the moon now, we have emotional wisdom and insight. You know, this planet is in dire need of emotional wisdom, right? We have these beautiful things called emotions that we are babies at understanding what to do with, right? In human design, we see the emotional center that right now is under pressure to evolve And all of that is happening, you know, irregardless, irrespective of how your emotional center is defined or not in your human design chart. We are still under the pressure of this particular evolutionary track. So we're suggesting here with, you know, Pallas Athena being brought into the conversation, that we are being tasked with evolving emotionally, which means using emotions appropriately and not in a reactive way, not letting our emotions carry us away and using it as a way to strike back at our fellow human beings, for example, or to say or do things based on emotion that isn't supportive of us or others, right? Emotional energy is here to help you calibrate with what is correct for you or not. So let's say an emotion of anger and upset because something you're trying to do isn't working would tell you that you're not calibrated with your heart, that that isn't the right place. That you skipped a step, perhaps, that you need to go backwards, that you got to go back to generating some wisdom about what it is that you're doing. But we haven't gotten there yet, right? Even I struggle with this, right? When Mercury is dancing around in my chart in a way that makes my printer stop working or my computer not work, then, you know, that emotion is like, ah, frustration, right? So we might find that at this time, this, and this will be activated today for sure, we might be looking at how can we heighten our emotional intelligence? How can we use our emotions in a positive way for us instead of using them either against ourselves or as weapons against other people, right? Big thing there. But there's a natural ability right now for each one of us to tap into our inner wisdom and also our intuition so that we can navigate the next steps for us in this lifetime. Also, how to navigate the challenges that come up and the decisions that we have to make. So strategic planning is linked with emotional awareness, encouraging us to have a balanced approach in the way that we solve problems, right? We have to do things in a way that's balanced, even in our decision-making. It can't be all one-sided, you know, one way or the other. We have to be able to walk down the middle. We can't rely solely on logic, and we can't rely solely on emotion, right? You have three ways of knowing. Emotion, which is very powerful. It's about sensing. You have knowingness, and you have logic. We have three ways that we can tap in. So we have to be able to integrate all three of those in our energy field so that we make good decisions for ourselves. Strategic plans then right now are infused sort of with emotional awareness, possibly empathy, that's part of the moon, consideration of how our decisions will impact others. Not as a way for you to compromise what you do because of the impact it will have on others, but to really understand and be able to be accountable for the impact that your decisions and your emotions will have on others. We have inspired learning and exploration, right? The moon in Sagittarius already takes us into the explorer, right? That explorer energy, a desire for that adventure. And when combined with Pallas Athena, then this aspect can inspire us to seek experiences that are new, that expand our horizons intellectually, but also emotionally, and that add to our goals, right? That add to our personal growth. Travel, higher education, philosophical discussions, all of those are particularly engaged during a moon conjunct Pallas Athena, as well as creative problem solving. Remember, she's a strategist. She sees the big picture and from that bigger picture can strategize the best solutions. The creativity touch here is really amplified as well. And we may be inspired. We may find ourselves more intuitive during this time. So be ready. This is encouraging us to blend emotion and wisdom, strategic planning, inspired exploration, It's time for trusting both your intuition, your intellect, and your emotions, and then seeking out experiences that are going to kind of contribute to your personal growth, right? All right, I'm going to go over here and see if there are people with questions about that. Christine says, Athena was ready to defend and used wisdom and diplomacy to avoid war. She was a peaceful warrior. Absolutely. Absolutely. She wasn't like the Mars version, let's go in and beat them up or kill them all, bomb them, that kind of strategy. She would have found a diplomatic solution. Okay. Good one. Thanks, Christine. Anyway, now let's see, where do I want to go next? Let's talk about, you know, I wanted to show you guys a human design chart right now. So let's do that first. And then we'll go talk about, the Uranus trine to the Black Moon Lilith. So let me share my screen with you. Yep. That's the one. All right. So all of you should be seeing now, this is a human design chart. I don't think any of you out there right now are brand new, but if you are, this is what a human design chart is. Human design is an astrology based on the energetics of who you are. And there is a connection of the energy of who you are to your DNA. It is literally a system along with the gene keys that really takes us into the depth of who we are. Now, when planets are in transit through the astrology, so for example, Moon today in Sagittarius, it is also moving through the human design template and highlighting different gates, which gates are these numbered areas here, and these gates are traits that lie in your DNA, right? All of us have all of the gates, we have all of these traits, and some people are going to have them defined, which means you're broadcasting that trait. Some of you are going to have it open, meaning there's no planet sitting there. And that means you're experiencing through others or through the outer world. And then when we have planets in transit that are coming to each one of these gates for a time, however long that transit lasts, it becomes defined in everybody's charts. And now we have this opportunity to use this energy that's coming to us in a new way, right? Or to just use it, right? Because some people never have any of these energies, and then suddenly they're there and you're like, wow, this is fun. I could do all of these things. But then transits are such that they move on, the planets move on, and then that energy might shut back down. And then you're left thinking like, well, where did that energy go? Right? So we have to be very aware of what is available to us all the time versus what is not available to us all the time, or how we would experience that energy through other people. And then also aware of the transit and how that might be impacting us. So this actually has several pieces of information on it that are pertain to today. Let me see, can I make this a little bigger? There we go. Perfect. So first, let's talk about the moon energy, since that's where we've been. Here is the sacral center, and I highlighted it in blue just to make it stand out here. If this is in your chart, it would be, if it's colored in, it would mean it's defined and it's connected to another gate at another center that brings that definition in. So this is just for illustrative purposes at this point. So here's the gate 34. This is where the moon is right this minute. And the gate 34 is the gate of being busy. It is a gate that really has a lot of power in vitality, in life force energy, and it's seeking an outlet in doing or through being. Most of the time, humans, we think of ourselves as, what are we doing? Not who we are being, but the sacral is both doing and being. So with the gate 34, it's kind of asking us, what are we emotionally connected to that we want to put our energy toward, right? What do we put our doing energy toward or our being energy toward? So there's the gate 34. Now, in some of your charts, you may have the gate 10 activated, meaning it's colored in. You may have the gate 20 activated, again, meaning it's colored in. And then the moon being here at 34 completes a channel. So you actually get a bigger boost of energy. And for some people, you're not going to have anything that it connects to, but you'll experience yourself differently through other people, right? Through colleagues, through family, through friends, through people on the street that connect you up through that gate 34. And also then after 34, the moon jumps into the gate 9, the gate of focus. And it's an energy of being able to focus our minds, focus our thoughts, focus our actions on something to complete it, right? You don't necessarily have to complete it. Completion doesn't necessarily sit there, but it is an energy for sure of being able to focus, right? But it also, in a more negative way, is when there's a lot of input coming in from other places all around you, and then it gives you this feeling of ADD or ADHD, as you're like, ooh, ah, ee, ah, there's so many possibilities, right? So much energy coming in. What do I focus on? So literally, I believe sometimes that this gate is defined for people who think they have ADD or ADHD. Not that, it is really the access that they have to this gate. So now all of us today in some way have this emotional connection to focus. What are we focus on, or what are we focusing on? And is it sustainable, right? Can we sustain focus, or are we going to get sidelined by the next shiny object that comes in, right? Or that next text or email or whatever, right? From the 9, the moon will move to the 5. And the 5 is the gate of rhythm and habits and routines. So here we'll have this emotional connection to the things that we do on wash, rinse, and repeat. And I would invite everybody to question, what are your habits? Are they healthy? Is it right for you? Some of you who do not have the gate 5 defined might be looking at establishing healthy habits, right? Or healthy routines. That is the focus that we have going on today. Now, as we get into tomorrow, tomorrow the moon will be in different gates. And I didn't actually put those on here, but the energy of tomorrow will be different than the energies of today, right? It'll be more in the, let's see, did I keep that out? Tomorrow will be the will. Oh, that's right. The will center, the gate 26 of integrity and the gate 11 of ideas. And then we'll slow that transit down to be in the gate 10 as the transition to Capricorn happens early Monday morning or Sunday morning. Sorry. So if you guys have any questions about that, you can ask me in the chat. The other gates that we're looking at here is the gate 44. This is where the earth is right now. The gate 44 is called the gate of truth or the gate of patterns. And hold on, I'm checking the date. She is there as of the 27th. So tomorrow, today we're finishing up the previous week with the sun and earth at gate 27 and 28. So the sun at 24. Up here on the Ajna, and the earth at 44 down here on the splenic center or the spleen. This is a week where we're dealing with blessings, perhaps gratitude, looking at the story of how we rationalize why things are the way they are, why I can't get things done that I want to get done. Why I can't be who I want to be. The gate 24 can be very caught in the story and rationalizing that story, rationalizing why I don't change, rationalizing why things have not ever been different. In this gate, it is best for us to take a look at the blessings in all of our experiences, the high, the low, the mediums, and be grateful for those experiences as they have all, good, bad, and ugly, contributed to who you are. So gratitude is a big deal when the sun changes to the gate 24. And the 44 is a gate that is on the spleen center. So we know that there is also the potential for fear or paralysis to come up. And the fear and paralysis in the 44 is about fearing the past repeating itself. So we can get caught up in the story of our lives as it has been unveiled or revealed to us from now and into the past. We drag all of that experience forward, and then we create a story about it. We justify why it is things are the way they are. We compromise. So this is a week for us, the week ahead, starting tomorrow, for us to really take a look at all of that. And how do we break out of that? Can we break out of that? And the answer, of course, is yes, you can. It's a choice to break out. It's a choice to rewrite the story, to see your life in different terms, and to elevate yourself, right? To elevate. I highlighted the gate 25 here, so you would know where that is when we talk about the Mars-Neptune conjunction, because it'll happen right here on the identity center, the very seat of your soul at the gate 25, where you are the embodied divine, right? Where your divine self lives, where you are embodying spirit within you. So interesting. That gate 25 is very powerful. It's got a real innocence to it. It's a new beginning for sure, but a new, maybe a new beginning of your relationship with your higher self, with higher consciousness. And I also just want to point out that the gate 51 is still being defined by the North Node. The gate 51 is the gate of awakening, the gate of shock. And so when Mars and Neptune are, this is already being defined by Neptune and the North Node. And now we'll add Mars energy here. So this is really a time for us to accelerate our connection to spirit, to our higher selves, to listen to the divine transmissions coming in from our higher self, and to move forward with that energy. All right. Questions. Let me go back to StreamYard here. Alan says, my North Node is at the gate 24 in the line 6. So you're already familiar with this energy and your destiny. I'm not sure how old you are. Are you over 40, Alan? Have you already had your Uranus opposition? If so, then you're transitioning into this idea of creating blessings and seeing all of the experiences in your life as blessings rather than curses, and how those experiences have contributed to who you are, but then further taking that out and sharing that in the spirit of gratitude with others. She's 38, so you have not quite gotten here yet, right? You're still at the South Node. The South Node is likely in, I'm guessing, at the 44. So you're still maybe caught up in the past or caught in a rut, haven't been able to break out of old patterns, but soon you will be able to move that energy in a different way. Might be a good time for you to have an astrology reading, Alan, or a human design reading to really look at the impact of that life cycle on you personally, on your life. Okay, good. So now let's take a look at the Mars. No, let's, before we get there, let's look at transiting Uranus in Taurus and how it's forming a trine today with the Black Moon Lilith in Virgo. So Uranus in Taurus, we're very familiar with. He's been here for a while. He represents innovation, breakthrough, sudden change, aha moments, rebellion, especially against the status quo, right? Any place where there's this ho-hum going on, he comes in to energize it, to break it up, to make it move forward. And in the sign of Taurus, this has been about stability and security, like we have none anymore, practicality, material security. So it's about our money and the volatility perhaps in the economy and how we're spending more to get less and all of those kinds of things. So there's a big financial energy in this, resources, the environment, because Taurus is an earth sign. And then the Black Moon Lilith, also in an earth sign, represents the feminine side, the feminine dark side, if you will, the parts of us that we squelch down, right? It's the part of us that, you know, is taboo, right? Or we feel we can't be all that we could be. For some reason, it's taboo in our society, or we're afraid our families would look down on us, that type of thing. And in Virgo, a sign, of course, that's ruled by Mercury, we're linking sort of those analytical qualities, the mind qualities, so the intellect and perfectionism, with the energy of being meticulous, of being practical, and focused on details, right? The small picture, if you will. So Virgo herself is associated with health, with work, service, how we share of ourselves with others, with organization. And when the Black Moon Lilith is transiting through Virgo, then we have an emphasis on uncovering the hidden truths, addressing taboos in our lives, and reclaiming our personal power to be who we are here to be, especially in the areas related to our health, to our work dynamics, and to our daily routines. So we're restoring our power, right? So when we link these two in a trine is an ease and a flow of the energy between the two planets. So they're working well together. This is a very positive setup, right? Innovative solutions. That's the first thing that pops in my mind. Innovative solutions to solve practical problems, right? Because Uranus and Taurus is encouraging us to try unconventional approaches to the problems that have been a part of our existence. And that might mean financial, it might mean in our homes, in how we feel, sense the world, all kinds of different things. So the trine suggests that these innovations can be grounded now in practicality, more practicality. We might find new ways of managing resources. We might find a way to improve our work efficiency. We might be able to address health issues through alternative methods. I think everybody that listens to the show here are pretty open to alternative healing, but this is even on a worldly scale where alternative healing and alternative pharmaceuticals, et cetera, all come into play. Breaking free from the conventional. There's another twist here. The alignment of Uranus and the Black Moon Lilith here really cause us to want to break free from the societal norms and the expectations that have been placed upon us. So we want to align with more deeper truths, deeper instincts. We want to follow our intuition, even if it's unconventional in telling us what the best solution would be for us. So we want to unapologetically assert ourselves to challenge those outdated structures, right? To not let other people dictate to you what is right for your health, for your well-being, for you to work, right? That kind of thing. Revolutionizing health and wellness practices for all of us. This is so important as we are, you know, finding out how horrible some of the drugs out there are that have been prescribed. As we find more and more natural remedies for things, as maybe we even, this is my biggest hope, is that maybe we even begin to look beyond just throwing stuff at symptoms and start to really look at what's the cause, right? What's the causation of things that are happening in our health? So it's a good one. It's a good one. And you're very welcome, Alen. And now let's take a look at the big deal for the weekend, which is Mars conjunct Neptune in Pisces. Now, this is a pretty complex coming together. We've had several comings together of these two planets over the last year or so, maybe even before that. Not necessarily always coming together, of course, in a conjunction, but the conjunction of Mars to Neptune sets up a new energy or a new way of being together. And it blends the assertive nature of Mars with the more dreamy, nebulous, intuitive qualities of spiritual qualities of Neptune. So this is coming together in Pisces. So look to where Pisces is in your chart, because that is still being highly activated. If you look at the chart for the day, which I put somewhere here, where here it is, I highlighted where this part of your chart is still highly activated, right? This is Pisces. We have Saturn, Mars, and Neptune here. And then we have Aries right after that, where the North Node, Mercury, Chiron, Eris, and Venus are. And then we have Taurus, where the Sun and Uranus and Jupiter are. This AC means the ascendant of just this chart, not everybody's ascendant. But look at that, is so dense, densely populated in just three areas of our lives, right? If this were a person, it would be the 11th, the 12th, and the first houses. And then looking at this, I thought was interesting that the South Node is holding the handle of all of these planets. So what does that mean? It means that every single one of us is dealing with the past in some way, dealing with the results of our own actions, dealing with our own beliefs, dealing with maybe the uncovering of latent gifts and talents that lie within us that are being instigated at this point by the South Node. The South Node of the moon holds all of the experiences, all of the karma, all of the interactions, all of the things, the tools that you have at your disposal to move yourself forward in your life. So the South Node holding the handle says, look within. You got it inside. It also says, look to the past and let go of whatever isn't necessary to go forward. Forgive, forget, let go, release, right? And move with the energy of these planets that are moving forward in a new identity, perhaps in a new way of being. And then transiting Mars conjunct Neptune is just one piece of this, where we're looking at heightened sensitivity, every one of us. Yesterday, what was it? Something happened yesterday. And I said to myself, I should have listened to my inner voice, right? It told me something. And I don't remember what it was about now. But later I went, damn, if I had listened, I would have saved myself an hour's worth of trouble, right? So we have access to heightened sensitivity. We're being more intuitive, instinctual even. And when Mars joins this, it is also adding instinctual action to it, right? So instinctual action. Imagination and creativity are heightened. Mars himself is a very interesting creative energy. He's the inspired action that we take on anything that we do, right? Inspired to move forward, inspired to create. Right? We have idealism and inspiration linked as well, because we have Neptune that takes us into that higher realm, the creativity, imagination, fantastical energy that then with Mars needs to be brought into the physical realm in order to take action on. We also have the potential for confusion during this period of time. Neptune's influence can bring the fog, right? Where we're not sure. And Mars, of course, beating this drum, wanting us to take action. He's not so very empowered in Pisces, though. So we can actually afford to take our time to really listen deeper to our intuition before taking action when he's in Pisces. But guess what? On Tuesday, he moves into Aries, a sign he rules. So take the calm, take the imagination, take the whispers of what is possible this weekend, because it'll be next week when Mars says, okay, now put them out there, right? Now I'm empowered because I'm the ruler of this sign, Aries, and now I'm in power here. So watch for that. Spiritual healing, healing and spiritual practices all highlighted during this period of time. It's favorable for engaging in things like meditation or yoga or contemplation, all of these different things, these tools that we have. Try to avoid escapism. Right? We don't want to escape. We want to be able to use the spiritual energy to our best focus. It's also possible that we could be pretty moody. Usually we think of moods in association with the moon, but Mars conjunct Neptune can trigger us, and we can see ourselves, you know, frustrated or angry suddenly, when just before that we were, you know, in a pretty peaceful harmonizing place. So best way out of that one is to use kindness, to be compassionate towards yourself and others. And remember, love is all that's real. Love, right? Charitable, compassionate actions, perhaps. Neptune does bring us higher love. It takes us into that unconditional loving energy. Mars there taking prompts us to take action on that more compassionate and loving energy. We may be more service oriented. It's a favorable time for us to really play to that. How can we help? You know, what can we add to the energy of the world? So it's important to remain grounded and discerning amidst all of the potential for confusion. And there's a very idealistic energy available to us at this point. Pisces is idealistic. And to take action on our ideals requires planning. It requires effort. So we want to be careful. Trust your instincts. Trust your gut. Trust your intuition. Trust your inner knowing. Stay connected to your guides, to your inner guidance, and you know, use the energy then to start the pursuit of your dreams or to continue the pursuit of your dreams. But perhaps by tapping into our intuition, we gain more clarity and insight and maybe even a dose of more compassion for ourselves and for others. All right. Looks like a pyramid, Christine said. What was that, hon? Hi, Irene. It's good to see you. She says, I have my natal Mars in Pisces in the seventh house. So that conjunction of Mars and Neptune in Pisces is happening then in your seventh house using whole signs, right? If you're using a Placidus chart, but you, I think, are from Sweden, you should really be using a whole sign chart because you're pretty far north. That chart really works better for the more northern latitudes. So, all right. Now, I today can actually use this new deck of cards that I have because I sent this as a gift to a friend for her birthday. And I didn't want to tip my hand by using this card, this deck, before now. But I think it's perfect in the face of Mars conjunct Neptune. And here it is. It's the cultivating compassion, simple everyday practices for discovering peace of mind and resilience. This book is built on a daily sort of spiritual practice, right? And it doesn't matter if you do them in order. The cards that go along with it are absolutely gorgeous. Look at this. This is the fox. They're all based on animals, whether they're mythical or real animals. I even saw there's a dragon in here. Look at the phoenix here, right? The phoenix, the bird of transformation. So there's all these wonderful cards with a message on the back that says, in this case, with the phoenix, in my heart, I know I am enough. I am willing to grow and become even better. And then when you go to the book, it gives you more tips and more insight about what this card means. So it's great as an oracle, but I would use it more as a spirit, as part of a spiritual practice, perhaps. And I'm also going to use it today, and I'll put the link to where you can get your own deck in the description. Ooh, that one just like jumped. And it's Butterfly. Look at that. She's gorgeous. And Butterfly says, transformation. Acceptance leads to change. Change should be for the better. I control my response to life, right? You are in the driver's seat with Butterfly. Let's take a look in the book now. That's number 15, which is a six, which also suggests intuition, creative energy, balance, perhaps. And it says 15, not 16, 15, accepting what is. Acceptance leads to change. Change should be for the better. You control you. Have you ever noticed at times a physical pain? If you resist the pain, it sometimes feels worse. But if you breathe into it, relax, it doesn't hurt so much. Your mental and emotional discomfort reacts the same way. If you find yourself distressed, try relaxing into the distress. Embrace it. Let it wash over and through you. You'll see the difficulty passes much faster. Regular meditation practice helps you to accept events as they are and lean into the difficulty. Research shows that people who practice mindfulness and meditation often become happier, which doesn't mean their lives automatically get better. They don't necessarily stop getting sick or experiencing distress or challenges or losing their jobs. They lead normal lives like all of us do. However, the quality of their mindset and their ability to be happy in the face of challenging circumstances is more resilient. Meditation empowers you to shift and change your attitude. It helps you live in balance instead of being at the mercy of the ups and downs of life. Meditation helps you cultivate peace of mind. You have a choice in how to engage with the challenges of your life. You can choose to ignore, suppress, deny, or get stuck in them, or you can opt to embrace them, melt into them, and move through them. Then there's always a self-reflection and an informal practice as part of the wisdom in the guide. Self-reflection says, how often do I remember I have a choice in what I'm thinking and then act from positive choices? If I'm not making positive decisions regularly, what stands in my way? And the informal practice is, today I will practice acceptance. Today I will accept people, situations, circumstances, and events as they occur. My acceptance is total and complete. I embrace things as they are at this moment, not as I wish they were. All right. The butterfly transformation. It is a beautiful deck. I agree. Here's the eagle. This one always is striking to me in any deck. But look at that. Look at those eyes. I see all. Of course, I see these guys all the time. They sit in a tree outside of my door here. And I'm always a little worried when I let Binksy out about whether those eagles see her or not and realize she's a cat, not their food. All right. That is it for me today, guys. I have a class to get to. Much love to all of you. Have a wonderful weekend. See you on Monday. Bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.